So I never knew I was going to come into a session of worship, but as the Spirit would have us do, amen. So this morning I think what the Lord will have me do, or what I believe the Lord will have me do, let me use that word, it's already triggered. I came in listening to the word of the Lord from our pastor. And I was looking at what point am I supposed to enter. And I think the most comfortable point to come in to where he stopped. And since you are going to be having sessions for almost a whole month, I'll be coming in to share with you a dimension that we think we know, but that we do not even know. See, this thing we call love, we always think we know it. And it looks to me as if living as a believer, as a Christian, if we don't know it, we don't know how to live. Don't know how to live. And the demands of this realm surpasses what the flesh can handle. That's why I say that you think you know love, because you think it is an expression of your mind. It's bigger than an expression of your mind. In fact, by the time you begin to see the demands of God's love, you know you can't handle it. So you begin to get endeared by scriptures like Romans chapter 5, verse 5, which says it is the supply of love is actually by the Spirit. Love is not a function of your innate experience. Because the first thing we see in God's love is that he loved a fallen world. And I saw Pastor was talking about, was delving into areas of forgiveness, right? Because I met you in the middle of it. And I laughed when you got to some point. Because when you're talking about, you were talking about sincerity. That's how I can capture it. And that's not the whole responsibility. That forgiveness wants to find the address. You have to own up. Yes, it's responsible, but it's more than that. Love is what we live for. So, you don't live in it by your requirement. You live in it by his requirement. Because your requirement will make somebody feel remorse and you forgive him. You don't get it. These are very, very painful things. At least it's understandable that that guy is now saying, I'm sorry. What about if he doesn't say, I'm sorry? You are still at the risk of the prison. If he doesn't say, I'm sorry, and you don't do anything about it, you don't get Jesus' standard. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't. Yeah, that's why I'm looking at your face. Like I offend you. You know, the regular thing in human economy is that when I come and say, Ross, it's not that I'm talking about whether I've done some things that wrong you. I know what I've done. I stole your money. As a matter of fact, I brought it back. Please take, forgive me. If you don't forgive me at that point, what will people say? They say, I'm waiting, safe. You won't kill him. That is righteous enough. But I'll show you certain demands. I think in Matthew chapter number 5, let me show you certain things in the scriptures. I won't take so much time because I'll come back again and again and show you what the Lord has been showing me in the last 11 years. And I've learned by all kinds of experience. 11 years ago, I was in the retreat praying. And the Lord asked me a question. He said, if you were to be seated where I was sitting, the day one of my friends, who I carefully chose, that was the word he used. He said, I chose 12. It took me praying on the mountain to choose them. I said, God, is this one of them? And God will say, no, I won't choose that one. Multitudes will come to me, I will choose one. If I will go and meet one that is busy with his business and ask him to leave because God will have you be with me. Then one day, Satan came knocking. In John chapter 13, the Bible said, Satan entered into Judas. And he said, my friend that I labored by the Spirit to choose was sitting on the table with me and was going to sell me out tomorrow. And I told him, one of you guys will sell me out tomorrow. And everybody do as if nothing. And I knew. And I was not offended. Say, Ayo, can you stay there? It didn't make meaning to me until it started happening to me. What do you do when people that you know love the Lord? You are bound by the Spirit together. You have the same blood. And Satan enters into them. How do you cope? And you know that guy will kill you tomorrow. And you still share the food in the same plate. It's a serious matter. I say, Lord, I'm not you. And he said, you're on this mission to be like me. He chose 12 people. What do you do when men desert you? When they start leaving one by one? It's nice when everybody gathers around you. What do you do like David? When he got to the mountain of Holy, after Absalom had taken over his palace, and one of the sons of Saul came and said, yes, Tebi God don't catch you. You killer, murderer. And they begin to call you names. And one of the strong men of David said, let me cut off his head. He said, leave him. See, Absalom have taken my palace. How much more this guy? What do you think you should do? When offenses come, it's a serious matter. Now, let me show you scriptures. Matthew chapter number 5. Thank you for giving me that scripture on time. Now, Jesus says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there. Now, you don't understand. You think what is most important to God is this setting. That's one of our failures. And when we come to worship, we come to offering. Oh, Yahweh. No. Something before this. There is something before this. So he said, when you come to the altar and you're just about to get the microphone, because that today's setting is how we go to the altar. That's old day. How they do is different. They come with their worship animal. They tie to the horn of the altar and they engage in worship, right? But Jesus says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you. Do you understand that English? It's coming from the other side. It's not saying that you have something against your brother. Please give me another translation. Okay, do you have another translation? I want to use the one that it says offense. So if when you are offering your gift at the altar, you dare remember that your brother has any grievance against you. What did he say? This is how I want you to conduct yourself in this matter. If you enter your place of worship, yes, this I love this. Some things can really disqualify you from worship. Because God don't bend principle. And about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. That is unresolved. What did he say? He said, abandon your offering immediately because it's of no use. Go to this friend and make things right. Then and only then, come back and work things out with God. Give me another scripture. Hebrews chapter number 12. Verse 14. In living, certain conduct must be your priority. What do I say? And first among others is no offense. Verse 14, pursue peace with all people, including the difficult people. He didn't say, let peace be. He said, pursue peace, including those who don't want peace. Give me another translation. Because holiness is not even attainable without doing this. Work at living in peace with everyone. That's priority for living. You know, he told you, you have to own up. Not only that. You know, pursuing peace means you are selfless. Because it will make you mumu. And the winning nature is the nature of the lamb. I will still come and teach you about that. It is the lamb that will make war with the kings of the head, with the dragon and the beast, and he will prevail. And they that are with him are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. It's the lamb. It's not the lion. It's that weak nature. Seemingly weak. Seemingly weak. But it's the place where heaven's power is invested in the head. We are going to line up behind the lamb. That's what Revelation chapter 17 says. The nature that wins. And the first thing about a lamb is that it doesn't know how to fight. But it's the winner. I thought in that winning procession, Jesus's description won't be that spirit animal that is called lamb. It could have been lion, because it will be understandable that lions are aggressive. But aggressiveness don't win the race in the kingdom. He said, learn of me, for I am, and that's lamb. He doesn't know how to fight. He's mumu. If they put him with other animals, they will chase him around. But that is where heaven invests the power for victory. That is where heaven's power is invested. That lamb is seated upon that throne. That's what God enthrones. That's the nature that is enthroned. Sacrificial. So Hebrews chapter 12 says what? He said, pursue peace. Make effort to live in peace with all men. Now these are expressions of divine love that pertains to our conduct. Prioritize your conduct. Be swift to offer worship to the Lord. But the primary requirement is for you to what? Is to live at peace. With all men. Follow peace with all men. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And when I'm saying, and I don't know if I've said that, because I say that often, seeing the Lord is not a future event. Let me tell you, your quality of worship is determined by your sight of God. Your quality of living is determined by the sight of God you have. That's how Jesus lived. I don't know if I'm communicating this morning. Jesus said, whatsoever I see the Father do. So he sees the Father. Am I with you? Some people don't know him. Not to talk of seeing him. It's not enough to know him. You must be able to see him. See him in day-to-day decisions and events. Where is the Lord in this matter? And if your heart is not purified, you can't see the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. Oh, these are areas of engagement we have to revisit again and again. Because we can just be very ritualistic with worship, and we have never seen the Lord. We can actually have a good time without seeing the Lord. And you just know in your heart that you have not seen the Lord. That you don't really have an experience. You know, you are just trying. How many of you, most times, just come back to be more curious? That I know I'm joining everybody to do this thing. But personally, it's not as if I don't know the Bible. But I'm not really, really very, 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 very sure. A lot of people say that to themselves when they are back on the bed. Because that's when your real life manifests, when you are alone. That's when your doubts come up. That's where your fears come up. That's where your faith comes up. That's where your power comes up. That's where your folly comes up. That's where your true desires come up. That's where your true affinity comes up. And you find a young man lying on the bed and just smiling alone. Because he's back to his world. The other place he came from is the world. He has his world. In his world is his love, his affinity, his interest, his desires. He goes onto the internet. He picks his desire. He goes to his phone. He reaches out to his love. In his world. Living in the world is different from your world. And you can never know who you are except you are certain the positions in your world. And your world is you alone. Your best friend don't know your world. Your wife doesn't. You can live with a man for 30 years and don't know his world. He's in his world. Who is king there determines his life, his love, his affinities, his interest. Psychologists put people together. They call it Big Brother Nigeria, Africa. In 3 days, you really find out who they are. In the first day, they try to... But cameras go all around. And if you watch them enough, by the third day, you know their interest. When they are alone, they fantasize. They dream. Who do you see in your world? When you're back from the euphoria of this activity of worship, where do you return to? Is it sane and pure? But blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? They shall see God. He said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And the next verse says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. One major way of falling short of the grace of God is what? Lest any root of bitterness. When the principle of law is truncated, grace is broken. It doesn't matter who you are, bishop, apostle, prophet, matured, immature. The supply of grace is truncated when the pipe is broken. And the pipe is, the conduit is love. Don't break it. Lest any man fall short. He didn't even say that when you are the one that is right in your faith. As long as the principle is truncated, grace ceases. That's why he said you should follow it. He said you should look carefully so that you won't fall short of grace. Do a diligent search. I'm not still feeling offenses for this man. He knows some of my story. A man you should hang, and you go there to shake his hand. Just because you know the value of grace. Choose between the two. Your offense or the supply. So Jesus had to choose between the two. I won't let Judas stop me. If you want to waste grace, Jesus would have said, one of you is eating from this bowl now. I'm warning you for the last time. You are saying as if you don't know. And I know, and you know that I know. If you think I'm all, not all right, I can show you I'm not all right now. Peter, look at this guy. Because I don't want to talk. But you know what? If you break the principle, you bust the pipe. There is nothing that you can do or that I can do. If I offend you, I want to come and meet you. I want to be mumu. You know why? There is something of value that I don't want to waste. Haven't you heard that it gives grace to the humble? One day, your pastor was asking me, what is it that this and this, I've forgotten the question. He said, is it that make you do your ministry like this? I said, you don't understand. I have found how to tap. Stay humble. The principles of love, they are deep. If you stay humble, if you say you are wrong, don't take a lawyer. Okay, for peace sake. Because the base of everything is love. Now abide three things: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest among them is all these things I'm telling you revolves around that principle. And if the Lord says, follow peace, sometimes it's not until the person says sorry. Lest there be any root of bitterness. Let me tell you about bitterness. It is root. It's not stem. It's not visible. People don't see bitterness. You can be laughing with people for 2 years and you are bitter with them. That's all you know. You know that I know. You know that me too know. You know. Abi, you don't know. Hey, Jesus must change us. We want the lamb nature. That comes always to sacrifice. Why should I be me? Why should it be me bearing the sacrifice all the time? Because you want to be like Jesus. This mumu life pays. It attracts grace. Lest there be any root. Because bitterness is nurtured in thoughts. And thoughts are not sin. Somebody can be preaching like this and you are extraying him from, oh my God. From 30 minutes of his preaching or singing, the DC starts singing. This one. This killer. A lot of people have been denied grace because of bitterness. Somebody came to me and said, I've been in this place, I want to leave. She's been working there for 10 years. Everybody has been promoted. She's been working there for 10 years. Everybody. It's a bank. Each time they make recommendation, no way. She won't go. I said, what kind of this is this? And so he came and said, Pastor, please, I just want to change my job. Or let me even go and stay at home first and look for a job. I can't be here. For what? I said, let's pray. So we're in my sitting room praying. And as usual, God spoke to me and said, she's bitter about somebody in that office. And the bitterness at God has tattooed. And this bitterness grows every day. So Satan has found an occasion for blockage. So you have to bring healing. Healing has to come. So I stop praying. Because I don't waste my speaking in tongues. So I said, Madam, there's no need for us to pray again. I think I know what is happening. You are bitter about somebody. Say bitter about somebody. Say yes. I said, Pastor, I don't think I'm bitter about anybody. I said, that's what the Lord told me. Let's meet sometime, some other time, while you search. And the person you are bitter about is in the office. So she got to the door and came back. I said, yes, sir. Bitter about some guy there. He's in the head office. In fact, because of him, I don't like to go to the head office. I don't even want meetings to bring us together. I said, is it that I feel like slapping him or something? He said, no, we still greet. But I know that each time I see him, I know God will still pay him back. God will still deal with this guy. I know I can't deal with you, but God will finish you. Have you felt like that before? That's bitterness. You need healing. Hey, Lord, help me. So I said, come back, sit down. I said, that has stopped a flow. You won't go forward. Leave him alone. He said, Pastor, you don't understand. I said, make me understand. He said, we add introduction. I got pregnant. And I had to remove it. And he married another girl. I thank God I'm married now. But I know he can't go scot-free. I said, did he say sorry? He said, what's the use of his sorry? He's married. I'm married now. So who cares? If you don't care, why are you bitter? I said, I still remember. Wicked soul. Even in my face, he was still telling me. I said, Madam, you better look for what will make you go forward. And let's drop the one that is getting us stranded. It doesn't just happen. It takes help. Bible says he heals the brokenhearted. He's the one that does it. When Joseph had Manasseh, Joseph said, the Lord has made me to forget. There are certain things it is the Lord that can make you to forget. Wishing to forget don't clear it. And it breeds bitterness. And bitterness is root. It's never visible to the eyes. Oh my God. Am I talking to people here? These are real matters. And one of the ways the enemy attacks the church is to make sure that he sends quiet hindrances among us. There are stronger demons in hierarchy than witchcraft. All those ones that come to your dream, they are very small. The real demons are the ones that live with you comfortably and that you enjoy and that you allow to stay for hours thinking about how he raped you. Can imagine. What about if I died that day? I could have died, really. But God, does God really judge people? And this guy is still driving around Lagos. And nobody has killed him yet. called himself my brother, he ripped me. He's my brother, but there's nothing I can do. But it's okay. Somebody say bitter. Whatever thought you don't enjoy is a bitter thought. That is not pleasant. That causes your heart to palpitate. That makes you fume. Whatever memory that makes you restless is bitter. It stops grace. So what do you do about it? I'm not saying you can handle it. You go to God for help. Because there are things you can't handle. That's why Joseph said, the Lord, when he called him Manasseh, he said, for the Lord hath made me to forget. May you bat Manasseh today. Because you don't just forget your brother that took you into the dungeon. And they were planning, when they kept you in the pit, they were talking about whiskey. Said, oh, what is it? Idiot. The other one said, Abeb, may we kill this guy? I said, may we no kill him. He's a useless human being. Make him go suffer for Sahara. That one said, good. Make him become slave. She being there that they buy him clothes. And he was hearing. There are people here, life has taught you to be bitter. But there is healing for you. I just sense healing powerfully while I was worshiping. Oh, you read these Bible stories, but you don't bring it to your time. You don't bring yourself into it. So you don't understand most times that it was his brothers. Sir, please, we are going out to deal. Please pick your things. Let's go. Okay? Okay, bros. Let's go. And they got to a place. They had planned it. He said, what's happening here? Ross, what's happening now? If you don't keep quiet there, you okay? Then they threw him into the pit. And they sold him. How can you forget? Let me tell your neighbor, how do you forget this thing? Some people, life has taught them to be bitter. And just like the old trouble in the world were created for him. What's your time? Just as if the whole trouble in this world was created for him. When he was beginning to settle down, as in things started looking like it would change in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was already elevating him. He was now a storekeeper. From storekeeping, they said, you know, let's make this guy a supervisor. And he's now a supervisor. And he's now signing some checks. And Madam started hiring him. As if life was created for him to be in trouble. Madam started calling him Josie. Hey, you are laughing because you've never been there. What do you do when your boss's wife is calling you Josie? Oh, Josie, I like your dentition. How are you? I like your diction. Thank you, Ma. Why are you always too nervous when you're talking to me? Why are you laughing? Are you a suspect? Hey, Josie, I don't like you being nervous when you're talking to me. You know, you're more of a fool in the house with me, you know. Be comfortable. You know, daddy is always up and about with business and all. It's only just me and you in the house all the time, you know. And you have to be comfortable. You have to make sure you're comfortable. And you know, I really like you, no, you know. I said, yes, ma. Until the day madam begins to say, scratch my back. Hey, you don't understand. Life is not fair. But no matter how it goes, it can't truncate your purpose. It accumulates to an elevation in God's plan. If you look after Him, if you're looking for God, doesn't really matter. And someday, stories were cooked up. You don't understand that Joseph will appear in court for the first time and couldn't defend himself. And there were evidences. May a woman not be ready to fight you. My friend opted out for divorce. He said, I'm going to get custody of the children. He's a big man. He has money. He has everything. And that wife, the wife came to me and said, Pastor, I'm a woman. I'll let you guys know I'm a woman. I'm going to get custody of all my children. The three will be with me. I tell you, I don't have your money. I don't have the connections you guys have. But I have womanhood. I'm a woman. I will get custody of these three children and it will be pain. Read my lips. Believe you me, he got custody. She got custody of even the 14-year-old. She got everything. I said, look, if she refused to pay, he said, I am up and this man has taught me to be a man. I will deal with him. You know what it means for a woman to set you up? And Joseph was in court praying to the God of Israel. I said, God, don't let my career end here. You know I'm innocent too. And the husband came and said, Joseph, you, with the kind of love I've shown you, my woman. I said, okay, I know nothing. He said, shut up. Made in court. And he was convicted. Sent to jail. Oh, life could be bitter. And he went to jail with all his gifts. All his gift, all his know-how went to jail. That's where he was now using his gift inside the jail to interpret dreams. He said, Prisoner O1, you dreamt? Go and meet. Go and meet Josie. But one day Joseph said what? The Lord has made me to forget. I'm speaking to somebody. The Lord has made me. Beat your chest and say, the Lord will make me to forget. You know, when the scripture says, remember not the former things, sometimes it is not within the ambience of your strength not to remember. But when God makes you to forget, even when it comes back to memory, it carries no weight. High five. The Lord has made me to forget. That is what Joseph called it. Speak in the spirit for 2 minutes. Baradikoshapatavurabilanteki. Efatani. Klostafani. Brody Hersey, Paso tapaliko pata. Rito banase. In Jesus' name we pray. Hear me, hear me, hear me. For you to go forward, sometimes you need to forget. Remember nor, remember ye nor the former thing, neither consider the things of old. For behold, I do a new thing now. Sometimes the past things are entrances to the new things of the now, and it keeps delaying. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 14. Lest there be any root of bitterness whereby many be defiled. There's nothing as contagious as bitterness. Because bitterness seeks sympathy. And through sympathy, bitterness spread itself. Many will be defiled. There are some stories I don't want you to tell me. Because I will have to now start cleansing myself. A woman told me of a colleague, a senior prophet, who's been sleeping with her. How do you want me to be seeing the man? I have to go and cleanse myself so that I won't be judging and condemning him, because I don't know where he is now. He must have been thoroughly done with God. And I'm looking at him each time I see him in television and say, I want to look back. I want to bash it. I want to. And the Lord must help your heart. Because somebody's bitterness has been transferred to you. And you too, you have joined her to be bitter. Each time you see that, our ex. We know them. This one. I better leave that story. They say, don't turn pastor now. This one, turn pastor. This word. He wants to spread the bitterness. Let me tell you something. You see, I didn't want to say it before, but I just thought of it. You know that my friend, Ngozi, that boy you're talking about is her ex. Let me tell you. Come inside the car. Let me tell you. It has spread. That one too don't carry the thing, has become bitter. There is contamination. May another person's bitterness not contaminate your heart. He said, lest there be any root of bitterness springing up, causes trouble. By this, many become. Many. It's just any root. And I've told you the first nature of bitterness is that it's a root. So it spread. Especially for those of us who counsel. And not speak the word of the Lord. Hey, may the Lord help us to undo things. Yes. I was speaking in my friend's church and I was speaking to a woman. I said, madam, we need to talk. Something is happening to you. I don't understand. Okay, no problem. You don't understand, it's okay. But I see somebody dragging you. I see a prophet dragging you. Against the direction where you're not supposed to. Ha! Okay, check it to me. I said, pastor, help. This man has been sleeping with me. And when he mentioned his name, won't I become bitter? And peradventure, they now put me and him in a conference. Our picture side by side. If I'm not careful, will I minister by the Spirit? Because I'm already bitter. So Jesus asked me 11 years ago, can you sit where I was sitting when Judas was sitting with me? And you are not bitter. Let me tell your neighbor, cleanse yourself. There are hearings that have defiled you. Bitterness seeks sympathy. They cry to meet you in the view, Pastor. What if he has just people don't work better for me? Oh. Are you a defender of the universe? They say, who? Then he mentions somebody's name that you cannot undo. You can't undo it, so you are bitter. Say, who? Who? Daughter, tell me.
He says, the commissioner of police.
Say, let's hand him over to God. Laugh if you can, please. It's intentional. This meeting is meant to make you laugh because you need healing. Love deals with imperfection. The next time I'll come to Acts chapter 13. But before I go, let me read certain words of our Lord Jesus. Lord, bring healing to us. Stop every blockage. There are some things you ought to have enjoyed, but because you have truncated the flow, with unforgiveness, with unrepentant heart, can you just play softly on F? Unrepentant heart truncates the flow. Some people are not even repentant towards God, not to talk of men. He knows he will do it again. Dear Lord have mercy. Oh Lord have mercy. Oh Lord have mercy. Mercy. Then tomorrow, say, Lord, for the last time today. Lord, for the last time today, just today, for the last time today, your God, just today. And there'll never be a last time. You know why sin is strong? It offers promises. And the promise is pleasure. Man is motivated by promise. So God must texture your heart to love something deeper. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commands. Because love draws. This is Valentine. Love draws. Love commands obedience. If you love that thing more than God, you obey it more than God. Lovest thou me more than this? It's love. It commands obedience. You may know how many times you called her when you were dating. That's emotional love.
Hello?
You say I should hear your voice. Just hear my voice. Yeah, how you doing? Tell me where did you go today? Where did I actually go today? Actually went to my friend's house. Did you eat there? Yes. She made okra, but I don't really like okra. I just ate small swallow. Have you not taken anything since you got home? No, you have to take something. No. You have to take something. Oh, you think I don't know how to play love? I told you you're free to laugh. This meeting is actually meant to make you laugh. Everybody feels good about love. That's why I should expect you to feel good about prayer. You understand? I expect you to feel good about prayer because it's a love affair. And may God bring you there. Feel good about obedience to God because it's a love affair. A young lady was living in my house. Every night on phone. Then in the morning when everybody is trying to go out, she just finished service, she will be sleeping. So one day, she was doing all kind of laughter alone. This is a girl that doesn't really talk very. She's now married. She's in the U.S. I said, "What is this?" So I went and came back. I see Didi. When it's 2 hours, I knocked the dog. Bang, bang, bang. I said, please, don't go. Don't cut. Please, I'll get back to you. Come. I said, come. She came out. I said, oh, nothing. He said, nothing. I said, are you calling? Eh, actually, I was just talking. I said, no problem. Come. I want us to go and pray. I said, I don't cause trouble, Abby. He said, Pastor, please, can I just go and I want to change. Well, I said, no, pray like this. He wants to go and say bye-bye. I said, pray like this. No. He said, actually, let me take my Bible. No, don't take your Bible. Use my Bible. So in the morning, I asked God for forgiveness. I was just jealous. How can you just be talking to my niece every day? Every day, talking to my niece every day. So when I met him, I said, you are the one that doesn't sleep at night or by day. By this shall all men know that you are my disciple. If you love one another, not if you preach. Jesus, oreti moni, alagbawi mi, ibi sadi mi. Laye lorun eyin ni masin alagba wi mi ibi sadi mi Jesus, you're the friend I know. My great heart vocate and my hiding place in heaven and earth. You're the one I adore. My great heart vocate and my hiding place. Jesus, oreti moni, alagbawi mi, He beside me, lie alone, no, ayini masin. Ololu femi, he beside me. Let me read some scriptures. Malo shate kopania. Breni sufrapeli korabihandu siprondizi klesulta. Sweeter than honey, more than the honeycomb. That's Jesus for you. Sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey. More than the honeycomb. That's Jesus for you. Sweeter than honey. That's the expression of love, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be bitter. Release, forgive. Forgive. Lord, I want to be more like you. Oh Lord, I want to be more like you. Want to be a vessel you walk through. I want to be more like you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, can I say this to you? You know, when I'm coming next, I'm coming to 1 Corinthians 13. If you think you express love, if you have not yet expressed it in sacrifices, you are not yet there. The height of sacrifice in love is forgiveness, the highest height. Because human wickedness is great. There are things you can never imagine to forgive. Oh, I've been through many places. I've walked through lonely paths. But your love is all I see. That I've never been lonely. Your love is all I see, and I've never been left alone. I've been through lonely paths. I've been through many hearts, but your love is all I see, that I've never been left alone. Your love is all I see. I have never been left alone. Believe you me. Oh, what a sacrifice. After all we did, the final word of Jesus is forgive them. For they know not. You can't come to that place. You don't know how to live. I release him. They don't know. I expect so much from him. Doesn't know. Pastor, you speak word of knowledge, word of wisdom. On my Tuesday meeting in Lekki, I told a man, I said, there is a requirement for you to go forward. Forgive your wife. He came to meet me. I said, Oga, why should I forgive my wife? No hurt against me. Why? family called me and said, pray with us. We're going to have our baby. One of us. The community. And I said, the Lord will have me tell you, sir, forgive your wife. Then we are going to have our baby. Why should I forget? We are good. When they got to the airport, they called me and said, I forgive my wife. Entering the U.S. They wanted to deny them from entry. Because the money they used, they were supposed to use to pay for the last baby. They cut corner. And madam collected the whole money. Big money. But never paid. Our friends convinced her there is a way we do it. And U.S. keeps record. They say, oh, God, you didn't pay. I'm going to turn you back. I'm going to take all your passports, stamp everything, and destroy everything. And he was fuming. He said, is this the woman I call my wife? He remembered. Called me. He said, I have to forgive. I said, yes. He said, but now we are still being detained here. They are making all their investigation. I said, they will release you. Release her. They released them. Somebody told me it's not possible that their passport was not battered. But believe you me, when you do the impossible, you get the impossible. Forgive. It opens the door of grace. I said to that man Tuesday, said, I said, that message is confusing. And why? We're good. We're good. In 21 years of marriage, we're perfect. By following Tuesday, he called me. He said, sir, I can't forgive. I said, why? He said, I kept a 21-year-old boy in my house. He sleeps with my wife every time. My firstborn is 19. How many years older than my son? He said, I slept with my wife to a point that even people in church have known. He said, I don't know. I can't handle this. He said, then you can't go forward. And before he said that, he said, I will tell you my story. If you know you can do it, then I will do it. I paused. I said, eh. I said, God, so people forgive these things like this. Ah. Eh. Hello, Heavenly Father. Is this part of things people should forgive? In this journey, forgiveness is not optional. Get it straight. Lest we fall short of the grace. Hey, the worst is that he asked me to put myself in. I said, I can't come to your shoes. We don't use the same size. How can you say I should put myself in your shoes? So when I was going home, I was trying to imagine my wife around. Tori peshe anumu yinduro. Let me tell you. You have not fully lived life if you have not been under a shock. Your strength is being tested when you are shaken. When you meet things that leave you speechless. And you say, ah. Ah. And your heart palpitates. Your power is perfected in weakness. Your power is perfected in weakness. When I'm weak, you're my strength and my song. Oh, when I'm weak, you're my strength and my song. You are the strength of my life. You are my song. You are the strength of my life when I am weak. You are strong. You are the strength of my life. You were my song. When I'm weak, I will praise and be strong. Oh, when I'm weak, you're my strength and my song. Thank you. It's not optional. It is not. Let me tell your friend, it is not optional. Get ready for life. If we don't know these things, we don't know how to live. If we don't know these things, we don't know how to live. And if we know these things and do them, it shapes us into the nature that pulls grace. That pulls mercy, that pulls the resource that sustains us in the earth. Can you stand up? I will glory in my weakness. I will rest in your Lord. For in you I have found my strength. Your power is perfected in weakness. Your power is perfected in weakness. When I'm weak, you're my strength and my song. Oh, when I'm weak, you're my strength and my song. You are the strength of my life. You are my song. You are the strength of my life. When I am weak, you are strong. You are the strength of my life. You are my song. When I'm weak, you're my strength and my song. Oh, when I'm weak, can you close your eyes everywhere? I say, Jesus, I come into that life that you have given to me. I release myself from every hurt. I release myself from every pain. I release myself from every pull from the past. Say, Lord Jesus, come under the finished work of grace through the blood to receive forgiveness. I am sorry for my sins, untidiness, my moral failure. I drop all of these to love you more. Help me with the sins that easily beset me. The weaknesses in my flesh that want to stand the way of my love for you. Help me, Lord. Help us, O Lord. We are needy people. Heal, O Lord. Cleanse, O Lord. Purify. Take away every root of bitterness. Lord, take away every defilement. Lord, make us to forget every root of bitterness. Let them be taken out. The axe is laid to the roots. Every tree that my father has not planted, they shall be uprooted and taken to the fire. There is a flow of healing here today. Chains are broken.
Say, sweet Holy Spirit, help my heart to love more, to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, to love my neighbor as myself. See my hand. This is me. There is nobody that does not love himself. Even your polluted atmosphere, you can tolerate. The height of love is measured in tolerance. Tolerance makes you accommodate another person. Her, my wife and I, when I'm in that thing called toilet, sorry, I'm messing up your day. My wife will scream and say, what is happening in this house? Oh, yeah. He will run out. She will run out. But I will be reading newspaper in that same atmosphere. That thing that everybody is running. You're just reading newspaper. Oh, goodness. Thank you. One day I was flying. I was going to Sokoto. When I left the house, I released one thing. Ha! I said, Lord, this thing that I just released, may I not release it in the aircraft? But you know that thing, I can still tolerate it. Everybody tolerates it. Even these fine, fine faces, the things they release sometimes can make all of us pack our Bible and go home. Some of you are hardening your face. It doesn't mean that you don't release it. This woman said, what is it? One day, I was just coming now. I was tired, rushing to just enter the bathroom. She just left the place. Immediately, I entered. I went back. I said, what just happened there? You see, as if it can be compared to your own. Everybody loves himself. Even the bad things around you, you can tolerate it. There's a way you just still say, how much of others can you tolerate? Like you love yourself. If you look at yourself thoroughly, you won't judge others. Lord, help us. Unite our heart together. Cleanse our heart. Purify our heart. Can you speak in the spirit for a while as I leave you? Purify our heart. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. There are three people here. After this message, you are going to experience a boom. A flow of favor. Because something just got adjusted in your heart. I was telling you about a sister in that bank. Since then, she's in the third bank. She's been promoted in that bank. They invited her on her career. Boom. Everything that has been truncated, get restored. There be. I see three people. There is a fresh flow of favor. You see hardship broken. I'm seeing somebody, you have been on regular medication, but this is the last month you go on that medication. Amen. Because you are totally healed. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Are you excited? Yes.